Welcome to Straight and Curly,
a podcast for self-improvement junkies.
I'm Kelly Exeter.
And I'm Carly Jacobs.
This is episode 73.
Hello and welcome to Straight and Curly. Kelly and I have got the giggles a bit this morning because I've got this obsession with pressing the hang up button when we record our podcast instead of hitting the record button. So sometimes we'll do the countdown and we get ready to record and we'll go 3, 2, 1, and then I'll just hang up on Kelly.
I've been hung up on more times than I can count, guys. Carly just doesn't like me, I think.
But it's also just this big, delicious button that I just can't help but press. So, yeah, so we've got the giggles. So that's how we started our recording today. Before we get started today, I wanted to let people know about a charity project I'm working on. It's called the Vision in Blue Blanket Project. So I'm collecting granny squares donated from people all around the world, crocheted ones, and I'm sewing it up into a blanket that will be raffled off for the livelihood sector of World Vision Australia. Many of you would know that I am a blog ambassador for World Vision and that I traveled with them to Indonesia earlier this year. I chose the livelihood sector to contribute to because it's a sector of their fundraising where they focus specifically on sustainable solutions to fundraising. So they'll send people out to organic farming areas and teach them how to make their own organic fertilizer so that they can eventually phase out their funding in that area and make these communities self-sustainable, which I just love because it's just so practical. You don't have to keep going out and fundraising money. It gives people their own autonomy and it gives people control over their own lives and they can contribute to the well-being of their communities themselves. So that's why I chose that particular sector, in case anyone was wondering. And I would love your support in any way. So I've got a blog post that details all the things you can do. If you are a crocheter, you can crochet some granny squares, which I would absolutely love because I don't want to be stuck making the entire blanket myself. So if you can crochet, I'd love some granny squares. If you can't crochet, I've got a free sign up for Crochet Coach available. It's a 7-day free trial. So you can pop in there, learn your skills and send some granny squares that way. Or you can, there's going to be a sew it up party in Melbourne at some stage when I get all of the granny squares and anyone's welcome to come along to that. So if you know how to thread a needle, please do come along to that. There'll be more details coming up. And finally, another thing you can do is buy a raffle ticket for the blanket that will be raffled off. And it will be such a cool thing because this blanket will take hours and hours to make. And you actually just can't pay people enough to do hand knit or hand crocheted stuff. It's just not something that you can purchase. So the prize will just be priceless. It's hopefully going to be gorgeous. Yeah. So just wanted to throw that out there for anyone who might want to contribute to that, particularly because it's all cold and, you know, snuggly and it's crochet weather.
Yeah.
Moving right along. Oh, well, sorry,
I was
going
to say, can you knit a square or has to be crocheted because it's a sin?
It does have to be crocheted, I think. I'm going to see if I can design a blanket that can be either knitted or crocheted and see if that works. I might need to team up with a knitter actually and just have them send me a few and see what that looks like. I'm just not quite sure how the sewing together works.
Right. Because it's different, like
just construction wise.
The squares will be different kind of stretchiness, won't they, if they're knitted versus crocheted.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Exactly. But yeah, I'm just wondering if a big scrappy blanket might work. But anyway, we'll I'll chat to a knitter and see if we can collaborate on something in the future. For this one, it's just granny squares though. Moving on with the show. So today, Kelly and I are going to be chatting about something a lot of people have told us they have a problem with, and that is saying no. Now, I've already outed myself as someone who finds it very hard to say no to work. And in other areas of my life, I also struggle mainly because I hate missing out on things. However, if there is something I don't want to do, I tend to lie rather than say no. So if someone invites me out for dinner and I don't want to go, I'm not just going to say no and make them think I don't want to spend time with them. I'm going to lie and say I'm busy. So I just don't think there's any point in making people feel bad. There's no benefit to being honest in that situation as far as I'm concerned. So yeah, if you invite me out for dinner and I'm like, no, sorry, I'm busy, there's a high chance I'm
oh my God. I never used to be good at saying no, mainly because like I get my kicks from people telling me I'm really awesome, and there is no faster or surer path for people to tell you that you're awesome than if you say yes to them. you know that moment when someone asks you something and their face just lights up when you say yes. Like that was like such a massive dopamine hit for me for such a long time, and it still is.
Sneaky little gold star.
Yeah, like let's just be honest, it still is. Yeah, and you know that was my personal brand for the longest time, and yeah, I was that person where I would say yes when everyone else had said no, or people would be like, there's no one else to do this. Oh, Kelly will do it. So I was that person. But of course, that just landed me in a lot of trouble and in a very, very bad way. So I had to learn how to say no to people, and I had to do it quite quickly. So 2012 was my year of saying no. Like that was my, I always pick a word for the year, and for the 2012, like, that was it, no. And a lot of things that I learned that year are the tips that I am going to be sharing today. So, yes.
I remember that year. Did you do that publicly?
Yeah, that was I
let Yeah, me. I can remember you writing about it.
Cool. Oh, you did read my blog. Nice.
Of course I read your blog. Yeah, I definitely need a year of saying no, and I'm sure you've got some good tips for me in here. I think I'm probably going to be learning from Kelly in this episode.
There's going to be a counseling session for Carly. How to not lie. So here's how you can. So my first tip is how to say no to someone's face without saying no. And that is to say, let me get back to you. And that actually does. And I know I'm going to kind of contradict myself a little bit later. Or Carly, I think, is going to contradict me by saying, don't say maybe to people. But like, just hear me out, because I do agree with that. But the biggest trouble that we get into is that knee-jerk yes in the moment, where we're like, I don't want to say no, or I'm too tired to deal with the fallout of saying no, even though I know I really do want to say no to this person. So I'm just going to say yes instead because it's easier. If you say instead, let me get back to you, like you can literally go home and get back to them straight away and just, but you get to drop them an email and you don't have to say it to their face. I like, find it very, very confronting to have to say no to someone's face directly. But I also don't really like lying to people's face, but I'll happily do it via email. No.
Yeah, I'm actually the same. I absolutely cannot stand phone calls, and I had to have some I wouldn't say difficult conversations last week, but some kind of, you know, we need to talk about this particular arrangement. I had to do two of those last week, and I tried and tried to have these conversations via email, and both of the people just kept writing back saying, yeah, let's just jump on a phone call and talk about it. And then I'd reply and say, maybe we could just sort it out via email. And then they'd write back and say, maybe we just need to have a phone conversation. And I hate it. And the worst thing is that it's never as bad as you think it's going to be. It's actually quite good. And your writing tone can come across as saying something that you're not actually saying. And when you speak to someone, it just makes such a big difference, and they don't feel like what you're saying is as bad as it would sound in an email. Yeah. And so I should embrace this, but I also just hate it. And I will spend all morning with my guts in knots thinking about this horrific phone call that I have to have.
So let me get back to you. Is a perfect antidote to that, because yeah, it just means you never have to say no to someone in the moment. Because I think like you get all the advice out there, you know, about not being so busy or not overcommitting yourself so that you're frantic all the time. Like all of them are like, you just need to learn how to say no. And I just think like that's quite unrealistic expectation for people like you and me, who are the doers, and the people who also people expect to do things, you know, or know they can turn to in times of need. So I think it's much more realistic to say, let me get back to you. And it works with everyone, by the way. It's like I even do it to my kids when they go, oh, can I have an ice cream? And I'll go, let me get back to you on that. And and I'll get back to them in like a minute, but it just stops, because quite often it's that real knee-jerky no. And like, because I think that's also something you have to be aware of with kids in particular, is saying no. Because then if you say no, you have to stick to it with kids, and sometimes it's not worth it having to stick to no, but because you've just said it in a kind of a knee-jerk kind of reaction. So that's just a bit of an aside.
That's a great tip.
Yeah, let me get back to you just releases you from having to make the decision right there and then, and it releases you to literally, you can just say, let me get back to you, I need to go home and check my diary, or let me get back to you, I just need to check in with my husband about what he's got on the weekend. And it just, yeah, it just frees you up. And then you can let the person, you know, and you even don't have to lie. You can just say, look, I'm really sorry. We're just not available that day. And you don't even have to explain it. So that's my first one. Carl's?
My first one is probably going to be disapproved of by Kelly. I do actually think a well-placed lie is really valuable. So I've only got a handful of friends that I do big ticket favors for. So I put a big ticket favor label on things like airport pickups, house moves, dog sitting, that kind of stuff. And there are friends that I do that for without even thinking about it because that's just the type of friends that we are. But if there's anyone outside that circle that tries to get in that circle, I just lie because I don't have room for anyone else in my big ticket favor circle because I'm using up all of my time on the people who have reciprocated that stuff for me already. So I just don't think it's a terrible thing to lie. So luckily I'm away a lot, so I don't tend to lie that often, but it definitely does happen. but I would rather tell a cheeky fib and say I can't meet someone for drinks rather than say I don't want to, because like who says that? There's no point.
I know.
Making people feel bad. I just don't think that that's a necessary thing to do. And generally I'm against any kind of deceit. And often sometimes if it's a close enough friend and they say, hey, do you want to come out for a drink? Like actually a mate of mine did this to me literally last week. Ben was out for the night and I texted her and said, do you want to come over for a drink? And she was like, nah, I'm already in my pajamas. It's not happening. That's totally cool. But if we didn't know each other as well and this person was maybe at the beginning of creating a friendship or we were at the beginning of creating a friendship and she wanted to meet for a drink, I'm not going to say, nah, I'm in my pajamas. I'm going to say, oh, look, I'm busy tonight, but, you know, maybe we can meet up on Sunday. I just think that's a better way of doing it than, you know, basically saying to someone's face that they're not a priority for you right now.
Yeah, because that is really what you're saying. You're saying I could, but I'm not going to.
Yeah.
And this is like something I had to explain this to Jaden the other day, who's only like he's 7 turning 8, and I had to introduce him to the concept of white lies. And that was a really awkward conversation. Like telling someone that's not quite the truth just because you don't want to hurt their feelings. And then he was like, but wouldn't they just want to know? And he was like asking all these like really pointed and difficult questions and I didn't really know what to say. So, yeah, and I'm laughing at you for saying lie, but let's be honest, I do it as well because I don't like hurting people's feelings either. So,
because it's just unnecessary, yeah, really.
It is unnecessary. So my second tip for saying no is to understand the tactics that other people might be using on you to get you to say yes. Things like guilt or obligation or reciprocity or even flat out bullying. All of these things are tactics people are either using knowingly or unknowingly on you. And if you're kind of onto them and see, you know, it's kind of like almost like I see what's going on here. You are leveraging the fact that you did this tiny favor for me like, you know, 3 years ago to get me to do this thing for you right now. And you're really, you know, so you're leveraging reciprocity and obligation and guilt. Actually, you're bullying me a little bit. Like, and once you get, you know, and you only have to look at your own behavior when you want people to do stuff for you. Like, we all do it. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but when you understand what people are doing to get you to say yes, it kind of becomes a bit easier to say no because you're like, you know what? I'm not going to let you manipulate me into saying no to something I want to say, sorry, into saying yes to something I full on know I want to say no to, but you're kind of manipulating me.
Yeah, exactly. And I think also even understanding the tactics where people are coming from might, if you do find yourself accidentally saying yes to things, I think obligation is a better thing to give in and say yes to than bullying.
True.
So if someone's bullying you into saying yes to something, you really need to do a firm no on that. If it's an obligation thing, so for instance, if someone helped you move house and they ask you to help them move house, they're using the obligation tactic to get you to say yes, and you probably should say yes because they helped you.
True, that is a good point. I like it. So your second one?
Yeah. My second one is don't say maybe.
Which is different to let me get back to you just quietly. But yes.
It is, yeah. So I'm of the firm belief that the question, are you free on Saturday, is a really easy question to answer. You're either free or you're not. And if you're fluffing around with maybes, what you're really saying to that person is that you want to be left open for a better offer. I think you either need to commit or walk away and never treat people like backups. I think it's a yes or a no.
Yeah.
Unless there's extenuating circumstances like, you know, are you free on Saturday night? I'm going to the football, which should be finished at about 6 o'clock. Depending on traffic, I can probably meet you for a drink at 7. That's a really acceptable answer. Are you free on Saturday night? Not sure.
Yeah.
What is that? It's not, I just think that you need to fail quickly in things like this. Actually say no, because it's not fair leaving people hanging for an entire week, particularly if the thing that you're waiting for, there's just like, this has happened to me so many times. I've had friends where I was very low on their list of things that they wanted to do on a Saturday night, and I didn't care. I was just like, if you're going to say no, you need to say no now on Tuesday so I can find someone else to hang out with on Saturday night. So yeah, that's maybe I hate that maybe.
Yeah, and I honestly, if from the point of view of the asker, like, don't underestimate how much of a gift a firm no is to the person who is asking, because like Carly just said,
yeah,
it then frees them up to ask someone else. But if you give them a maybe and you leave them hanging and then you don't answer them because you want to say no, but you don't know how to say it, and then you leave it hanging, you kind of just hope that they go away and forget that they even asked. Like, that's the worst ever. And it's a bit like, you know, we're both writers. We would much rather, and you know, submit a story to an editor or an idea to an editor and they come back with a firm no, it's not right for us straight away, then leave it sitting in their inbox for 2 weeks and leave us sitting there going, well, do I follow them up? Do they just not like it? Are they just really busy? Like, people don't like uncertainty. So a firm no, if you definitely know you're not going to do it or you don't want to do it, is actually a gift to the person. It's that, you know, much more than it is a rebuff. So,
and again, lie. If you are waiting for a better offer, just say, look, I'm sorry, I'm busy.
Yeah. And then you can become unbusy if suddenly on Saturday night you're like, you know what, I do want to hang out with Carly tonight because I've got nothing else to do. So.
Oh, no, that does not fly with me. There's no take backs on that. You don't say no to me and then at the last minute you didn't find anyone cooler to hang out with, so then you call me. Not happening.
I'll go out with you. I'll be like, okay, you said no.
Thanks,
to me,
Kelly.
But I'm happy for you to say no and then take it back. So my third tip is to remember that every time you say yes to something, you are saying no to something else. So this is kind of the Brené Brown choose discomfort over resentment thing. So this is what I used to do all the time. I just say yes to everything and then find myself so, you know, completely swamped and doing stuff for other people and not having time to do anything for myself. And then, of course, I just hate everyone who asks me to do everything, even though it's not their fault because I said yes, you know, like, and also like we kind of feel like people know what we've got on and we kind of go, I can't believe they asked me knowing I've got all this stuff on and of course I'm going to say yes. So that's why they asked me, and like this is all dialogue that I used to have going on in my head. So, and that's why I like the whole let me get back to you thing, because it lets me even, because sometimes it's a really cool thing that you're being asked to do, or you're very flattered, or because, you know, it's someone you admire asking you to do it. So in the moment, like your mind's going, yeah, this is amazing. I can't believe they're asking me to do this. But then if you take yourself away from the situation and you scan your calendar and you go, wow, even though that's like a really amazing opportunity, like I literally don't have time to do it, or I don't have time to do it justice right now. So I'm going to do a kind of half-assed job of it. It's much, you know, so that, yeah, taking yourself out of that moment allows you to, you know, to say the no to the person, whereas in the moment you wouldn't. So, and as uncomfortable as it is, it's less discomforting to say no in that moment or when you've said, let me get back to you, than it is like 3-4 weeks down the track when you're frantically preparing a presentation for something you said you'd do for someone for free and hating them, even though it's not their fault because you said yes. So.
Yeah, there's never anything wrong with taking time to make a decision about something. It's sort of similar to when you're a kid and you like win a prize at a fair and you've got 20 seconds to pick which prize it is, and you're just always going to regret whatever it is that you chose because you had to choose it really quickly. Giving yourself 5 minutes to just chill and have a think about what you want to do and then respond, it doesn't necessarily make the decision any better than the decision you would have made 5 minutes ago. You'll just feel better about it.
Yes, I agree with that, definitely. So your third.
So my third one. So I'm back to the Saturday night thing again. This is my focus for this episode. So there is a caveat with the "Are you free on Saturday night" rule. You can only ask that question if you're planning something fun. You can't be all, "Are you free on Saturday night?" And then when the person says yes, you go, "Awesome, I'm regrouting my bathroom." That is legit a dick move. You cannot try to get people to commit to things they didn't realize they were committing to. I hate it. I've had people be
that
like,
whole open-ended thing of like, yes.
But I actually freeze if people say that to me. If someone says, "Hey, Carly, are you free the last weekend of July?" I will just sit there and not say anything until they finish that thought. I'm just like, it straight up depends. If you want me to go away on a fun weekend with you, then yes, I'm absolutely free. If you want me to babysit your dog, I'm not free. So it's actually, it depends on whose dog. Some dogs are awesome. But yeah, I hate that. It's not, that's not a cool thing to do. Never.
Yeah, I'm very, very aware of, because of being the person asking an open-ended question like that, I always, always say, "Are you free for on this thing? I'm thinking of doing this," or "I'm hoping," you know, because there's nothing like worse than you go, "Are you free after school tomorrow afternoon?" And the person's like, "Well, you know, I am if you want to have a coffee, but I'm not if you need someone to pick your kids up." I agree. It's don't ask open-ended questions if you're the asker.
Because also you know why you're doing it.
The other person doesn't.
Because you want the commitment.
Cool. All right. So I've got a whole heap more tips here. So it's going to sound like I'm just driving this conversation, but because it's something I spent a whole year doing, I learned a lot of tricks.
And also my main tip is just lie. So it's probably better to have Kelly put some proper words of wisdom into this episode.
I'm giving Carly some extra tactics to add to her just lie management technique. So here's one thing that everyone needs to remember, and I even made a meme out of it the other day because I thought it was so cool. And it's, remember, you shouldn't only say no because you're busy. You should say no because you don't want to be busy. Totally valid.
I like that one.
Feel free to make your own meme of that and tag us in it on Instagram. Resist the trap of thinking that you're super important, i.e. if I don't do it, who will? And again, this is something I used to get caught up in all the time. And Ant, I've lost count of how many times Ant's banged his head against a brick wall watching me do this, where I'm like, "I've been asked to do this thing and I don't really have time for it." And he's like, "So say no." And I'm like, "But if I don't do it, who will?" And he's like, "That's not your problem." And I'm like, but who will do it? And he's like, "They will find someone else." So we do get caught up thinking that we're the only one that can get something done or do something. And maybe we are, but that's also not our problem.
I think it's a flaw of being an upholder. Yeah. I think that's one of the biggest drawbacks of us, is that we just big note ourselves and think that we're the greatest humans on earth. And we're thinking, but what? Sorry, if I don't do this, surely your life is going to fall apart.
Can't let
obviously
a questioner do this job. My God, everything will just go to poo. Like, no. Yeah, and it's true. And yeah, and do you know what? The times I have said, "No, I can't do it," the world did not fall apart. The people did find someone else to do it, and everything was fine. And okay, they may not have done it the way that I would have done it, but again, it's fine. So I think, yeah, we've got to be super careful not to get caught up thinking the world kind of revolves around us and our ability to do things. It's an easy trap to fall into, and it's an easy trap to think only I can do it properly. Even though only you can do it properly, someone else can do it good enough, and good enough is good enough. So, yeah.
Particularly if the outcome doesn't really affect you. Yeah. If it's for someone else, that's
unless it's like brain surgery or you're launching a rocket to the moon or something, like, it's probably not as important as you think it is. So,
Except there was actually one thing, this is completely off topic. It's another one of those Carly random off topic moments. Watch this amazing documentary about people who do the voiceovers for Looney Tunes and, like those type of characters that are really iconic and have been around forever. The guy who does Porky Pig, there was a man who originally did Porky Pig and he died. This guy spent years and years perfecting Porky Pig, and it's a really difficult accent to do. And he is so arrogant and he is on this show and doing the bee, 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 like, you know, doing all the, yeah, the Porky Pig stuff, and he just delivered it perfectly, and then he looks at the camera and says, and that's why I have job security. And I just want to applaud him because he is the person who no one else can do that. So, but unless you're the person, unless you're the only person in the world that can do Porky Pig's voice, someone else can probably do the job.
Yes, agreed. Okay, so my next tip is that you don't have to actually say no. There's also so many things you can say instead of flat out no or lying, just quietly. So, you know, there's things like, thank you so much for thinking of me. That is a fabulous opportunity, but it's not quite right for me at this time. So you don't have to be specific. You can just say, it's not quite right for me at this time. Or, thanks for thinking of me. It's not quite right for me, but it might suit this person. That's always good to handball off to someone else, I find. I don't know what it is, but I feel really bad saying I can't do it. End of story. I always feel better if I can say, oh, look, you know, I don't really know how to do that thing, but this person does. I don't know why I feel like I need to be Google for everyone, but I do. Or, you know, thanks so much. This sounds like something I actually would love to do, but I can't commit to it right now. If it's still, you know, on the table in 3 months' time, let me know. And we've touched on this one already. Like, say no quickly. Like, don't leave the person hanging, because a fast no is much more preferable than silence. And another one is to don't apologize. So you can explain your no, but don't say sorry, if that makes any sense. I think it's very hardwired into us for saying this whole saying sorry thing.
Particularly women.
Yeah, I remember Jamila Rizvi saying, like, she suddenly noticed one day how much she started every email with, oh, I'm really sorry about, or sorry about this. And she had to start editing it out of her emails, and she found it really difficult to do. And when she kind of pointed it out, I realized how much, sorry I didn't get back to you earlier, or sorry for the delay in this response. And it's like, and you know, and I'm talking about a response like they emailed me the day before and I emailed back the next day and I'm saying sorry for the delay in response. Like, that's ridiculous. So don't apologize for your no, or don't apologize for the fact that you can't do something. You can say why, but don't apologize. And what's the saying where someone goes, you do know that no can be a complete sentence? Like, I don't really believe in that. Yeah. I think that's actually quite rude to just say no and use it as a complete sentence.
I completely agree.
I never quite understand it. People seem to love that kind of meme when it goes around, and I'm like,
I totally agree.
I don't like being told just no and without any kind of anything. Like, I don't
like that email you got that was just no. Remember you told us about that email? Like,
and it was,
that's horrible.
And it was just like, okay, because you feel like the worst person in the world. It takes a little while to get over. So yeah, don't do that to people. Don't use no as a complete sentence unless that's kind of your personal brand and people are used to it.
Or if you're German, you can get away with it if you're
totally.
German.
I love Germans because they're so straightforward.
Yeah, they're great.
But you have to be that person though. If you're me and then I suddenly just go flat out no to you, people are just going to be like, what just happened? So yes, be on brand. And
or be German.
Yeah, or be German. Lucky Germans. You get to say just flat nose.
Actually, Japanese people can get away with it too because their language is so succinct.
Oh, right.
It's such a neat language. They don't have flowery. You know how this sentence is going on and on and on. That doesn't happen in Japan. They just say the words they need and they're done.
Oh, man, why am I English? Why am
I know.
So wasted on the English language? And then my final tip is to kind of have non-negotiables. So things like we don't go out on a weeknight. Like, so if someone says to us, do you want to go see a show? It's on Wednesday night. I'm like, no, because we just don't do that. And it takes away the decision making. Oh, should I? Shouldn't I? Like, no, I don't. Like, you know, one of the mums from school the other day asked me to fill in for them for netball. And of course I was like, oh. Ask me if no one else can do it. And then I was like, what? Why are you saying yes to this? Like, the game is on basically at your bedtime. It's going to throw out your whole everything for the next day. Like, don't do it. Yeah, have your non-negotiables about the things that you just flat out don't do unless it's like a supremely special occasion, and stick to it. And it just takes it takes some of the angst out of that decision-making. It makes it easy.
Mine is picking people up from the airport. I don't do that. And if it's my parents, I'll do it. But if it's anyone else, it's a 2-hour round trip. It's just not, it's ridiculous. And you don't think it is because it's only kind of like 7 to 10K. So it's not far, but because there's so much traffic and roadworks and stuff, you can rarely do it in under 2 hours. And I just can't afford that much time picking people up from the airport. So I'm just like, I'd actually just rather pay for you to get an Uber.
Yeah. Or do you know what? Like, especially in Melbourne, like in Melbourne and Sydney, like there's a train or a sky or the Skybus thing.
Or a bus. Skybus.
So maybe you can say, I'll pick you up from, you know, the train station, but I am not going to the actual airport. Yeah, I've got friends who always want to drop me to the airport. I'm like, look, I just take the Skybus. It's so easy. It's right there. So
yeah. I mean, if I'm in Canberra, I'll do it. It's 20 minutes from everywhere and there's no traffic. That's totally fine. But 2 hours? No.
Yeah, no, that's not cool. Yeah, I'll do airport pickups in Perth because it's depending on the time of the day, it's usually pretty easy. But yeah, in Melbourne and Sydney where there's a perfectly good train / bus system, yeah, go with that. Thank you so much for listening to Straight and Curly. This week's show notes and links will be available at straightandcurly.com. We also have an incredible Facebook group full of fellow self-improvement junkies. So if that's you too, come join us at facebook.com/groups/straightandcurly.
And if you have any questions or weird self-improvement hacks you want us to trial, you can tweet us at Kelly Exeter or at Smaggle, or you can email us at hello@straightandcurly.com.
Jackrabbit FM.
For your ears.
Who is that? Hi, Puck Pass.